with the Feast of the Ascension, which we just recently celebrated, our hearts and minds have been lifted up to higher realms. And we realize our life in Christ is not limited to this world. Comes back to mind because of Jesus' words in today's gospel where he says, they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Well, if you want to see proof that Jesus doesn't belong to the world, just look at the ascension. He's higher than the world. He's above the world. He reigns over the world. And we don't belong to the world either, but we are still here. So in this period of the Novena to the Holy Spirit, we're praying for the strength and the light and the wisdom to be able to make progress through this world without getting dragged down into it, without getting stopped by it, without getting distracted by it, so that we can maintain our identity with the Lord who does not belong to the world. So we are in the world, but we do not belong to the world. In both readings today, we hear messages about the difficulties that go along with being in the world. St. Paul, in his farewell address to the elders in Ephesus, he says that savage wolves are going to come along and they're going to attack the flock. So be very wary, be vigilant, hold to the truth. And then Jesus in the gospel also speaks about being his disciples being hated by the world. So the contrast between being of the world, where the world loves us, and being in the world but not of the world is quite great, great contrast. Reflecting on being in the world brought back to my mind my experience last week. I was immersed in the world in my travel, and I think I told the story. I was stranded in San Francisco overnight, and I had to get a taxi to a distant hotel and all these things. Anyway, so Monday morning, I had to get back to the airport. It was a long trip, and I told you about my friend Yuri, the Russian Jew from Ukraine. So anyway, so his cab company was called Yellow Cab of SV. And I said, what's this SV? I had never heard of that. Silicon Valley. I'd heard of Silicon Valley, but I didn't really know what that meant or where it was. Turns out that the area south of San Francisco, my hotel was in San Jose, which is south of San Francisco. I passed through the whole of Silicon Valley, which is like the territory. It's like the heart of the world, right? It's the place of a physical place, but also a kind of symbolic place of high tech, big money. You know, Google and Facebook and Microsoft and Apple and I don't know who else. All these big companies have their establishments there, and it's kind of known as a place where people go and make big money in high tech. So there I was racing through Silicon Valley. I didn't even know where I was. Well, this idea of the world, and maybe Silicon Valley, it comes up again and again these days. It seems to me every week or two I read another story about some whiz kid with a laptop who made $1 million and dropped out of college. And, you know, I don't know what, some investment scheme or some internet phenomenon or some new technology, and just made $1 billion before he was 25 and all this kind of thing. And you hear these stories about worldly success, and I think the impression of the Gen Z people is that that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hit it big and make it big and make big money fast and then enjoy life. And then at the same time, I see a lot of articles, especially this time of year, about college graduates, because this is graduation season, and how hard it is for graduates to get work, and the bleak outlook for them, and how they're in debt and they can't get themselves established, and they're still living at home and, you know, working at part-time jobs in fast food places and this sort of thing. What is this? All this preoccupation with the being at the top of the world, and then the reality is that not many people really make it big in the world. And then we have the saints. Yesterday we had St. Matthias, who we never heard of. We don't know anything about him, except that he was chosen to replace Judas as an apostle. So here's a real nobody. We don't even know where he's from. We don't know if he's from Galilee, if he's a fisherman, if he's a farmer, or whatever he was. He was a follower of Jesus for the whole time, And then he was chosen as an apostle, and then that's all we know. Now, the tradition is that he also dedicated himself fully to the Lord and laid down his life as a martyr, but that's it. Basically, a nobody who's a somebody in the eyes of God. And then we have today's saint, Saint Isidore, the farmer, San Isidro, Labrador. A poor man, a farm laborer. He didn't even own a farm. He was just a tenant farmer. He was just a worker who rose to the heights of holiness, not by coming up with a new investment scheme or a new technology, but by doing the will of God. I think the reason, one of the reasons why San Isidro is so popular is that he's an ordinary person doing ordinary work. He didn't have to change, didn't have to do miraculous things or come up with something spectacular. He did the will of God as a farm laborer. Now, I know there are some miracle stories about angels, you know, pulling the plows and all those things, but that's not his everyday life. His everyday life was farm labor, which is the work, up until recent times, of most people in the world are manual laborers, farmers, fishermen, manual laborers. So the church sets before us people like San Isidro and says, this is an example of how to live in the world without being of the world. He's a man of the earth, but he's not a man of the world. He's not trying to establish his reputation based on success in the world. His whole identity and his whole understanding of the purpose and value of his life is in God. That's why I said at the beginning, he's a man of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit and doing the will of God with power. He was generous, you know, he was generous to the poor, even though he himself was poor. He was a hard worker, he was a humble man, he was a prayerful man. And he's a saint. As if to say, it's possible for everybody, anybody, any ordinary person doing any ordinary job to be very holy. Do the will of God. I noticed in today's first reading where Paul is speaking to the elders, he says, I never wanted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. In every way I have shown you that by hard work of that sort, we must help the weak. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. St. Paul, setting himself up as an example for the elders, the leaders, he said, I didn't set my heart on gold, silver, or clothing. I didn't have any interest in worldly advantages. And I worked every day with my hands. Now, I don't know what he's referring to here. He's talking about his work as a tent maker or other manual labor, because what we know about St. Paul is his work was mostly preaching. But he says, I worked every day with my hands, and that it's by hard work of that sort that we must help the weak. So this reference to hard work with your hands seems to point to San Isidro. That's what he did. He worked hard with his hands, a manual laborer. And he helped the weak. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to work in a field today, but it does mean we have to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is where we differ completely from the mindset of the world. The mindset of the world is get, make it big, win the prize, be a success in Silicon Valley, get your name on the internet, be influential, rich, and famous. That's the mindset of the world, and it's always going to be like that. Jesus says, now this is not found in the Gospels anywhere, but it's quoted here by St. Paul, says that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So giving is the way to live in this world without being of the world. Our life in the world gives us many opportunities to give, to serve, to sacrifice, to be of service to others, to be an agent of the Holy Spirit to others. And when we do that, we are more blessed than if we are the recipients. Now, behind this very fundamental principle of the spiritual life is that we have already received. The reason why we can give is because we have received. We have received the Holy Spirit. We've already hit the jackpot spiritually. We're already rich spiritually. That's why we have so much to give. And the blessing is to give as we have received, to make a gift of ourselves as the Lord has made a gift to us. Jesus speaks in the gospel about the richness of what we have received. Not that we own a venture capital investment firm, but that we have the truth. The truth. Jesus speaks about consecrating us in the truth. To have the truth is to be rich. The truth in this world. To know the Lord is to be rich. To receive the Holy Spirit is to be rich, spiritually rich. That's what makes it possible for us to work hard, selflessly, without getting discouraged, without getting frustrated, without giving up, and without oftentimes seeing the fruit of our labors. We can keep doing it because we have received so much. We do not belong to the world, but we're not yet taken out of the world. So while we're in the world, we don't belong to the evil one. We don't put set our hearts on silver, gold, or clothing, or fancy cars, or big companies, Silicon Valley. What we do is live the truth and do the will of God. Like San Isidro in his own circumstances, like St. Paul in his circumstances, like St. Matthias in his circumstances, each one of us is in a unique situation. But we are all called to live the truth, to be consecrated in truth, to live in the world but not of the world, to be followers of Jesus Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit.